Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. So today's topic is trainer education, and we're going to discuss 10 reasons why your clients should fire you. So these are kind of mistakes that trainers will sometimes make, and they're 100% valid for your clients to fire you if you make these mistakes. So we're going to go through them, kind of like talk about what we can do to address them, make sure we don't make these mistakes. And it's just kind of like raising your awareness to the quality of the service that you're providing and making sure you're paying attention to these little things that can add up in a client's mind. And all of a sudden the client kind of cancels a couple sessions with you, they kind of flake out, and you maybe don't know why. These are the things that typically add up in small amounts that'll add up to why a client will leave you. Okay, so let's go through these. Number one is you're late or you cancel often. And that is a big no-no. So you have to make sure you are on time. Now, I am somebody who runs my day by like 5-minute increments. Sometimes if I have a client at like say 2 o'clock, I'll pull into the parking lot at 1:57 and walk through the door like just on time, but I'm 100% ready to go. Mentally, I walk in, kind of chat with them, talking with them, and that's more of a rare occasion than it is the norm. So typically I'm already at the gym and I'm kind of waiting for my client. So I'll either be going from one client right into the next. So they'll come in early, maybe do some stretches or just to make sure they're on time and ready. And they'll see me with my previous client. And I make sure I try my best to cut the previous client off at the exact right time so they don't like bleed over into the next person's time. So when I first started training at the gym, I actually didn't wear a wristwatch. And now I laugh because I would have complete like anxiety over not having the feeling of controlling over time. But what would always happen is you get to the end of someone's session, they were kind of tired and lazy, then all of a sudden they want to ask a bunch of questions, and all of a sudden it's 5 or 10 minutes into the next person's session, which is not fair for the next person. And each individual who's asking the questions, they're often unaware that they're drifting into the next person's time, or they flat out don't give a shit. They don't care enough to be aware. And that was what struck me as very surprising, was we would be done, like, say, at 2 o'clock, and somebody would be continuing to talk and ask questions at, like, 2:05, 2:10, and it's kind of like, damn, you know, like, I got stuff to do, I got other things to do, like, I'm happy to help people, but my day revolves around more than just that one session. So when somebody continues to talk after sessions, that eats into the time that I have to do the other work that I have. And so that's something I did really quickly, was bought a really cheap wristwatch from Walmart, like with a little stopwatch function on it. So I could time working sets and time rest periods and stuff. But then I also would kind of get to the end of the session. I would see it's like 3 minutes left. I'd make sure we kind of sum stuff up and kind of move that along. So it helped me kind of facilitate my day better from client to client to client to make sure my clients didn't bleed over. If you have a hard time with that, like you have clients who just want to talk, you need to either be more deliberate in the way in which you get them to shut up. And I know this is like aggressive language, but let's just tell it like it is. So if you have somebody who's a talker, you would just literally have to learn to start to cut them off. So I've had to learn how to do this. And at first I thought it would make them feel bad, but typically they're just unaware. So they'll be talking and I'll say, hey, I'm sorry, but you know, I got to get into my next session. So we'll pick this up on the next time, or if you want to shoot me a quick text or email. And they'll go, oh, okay. And then sometimes they'll start to talk again. Oh, shoot. Drop a video. Hold on. So sometimes they'll start to talk again, and you have to kind of just cut them off another time. So I have had that happen where I'll tell somebody, like, hey, I'm sorry, I got to go. You know, next person's waiting. Oh, that's okay. I didn't really, you know, want to bleed into their time. I was just making sure that I really knew what I needed to do with my food. And it's like, oh, my God, shut the hell up. I just told you to shut up. So in those cases, you have to be a little more deliberate. And if you struggle with feeling guilty about making that person upset, recognize that you're hurting the next person if you don't. Okay? So you need to respect the hour of time that you're in for which person that is. So if the other person's 15 minutes early and it's just making things awkward, you can just look to them and say, hey, I'll be over in a minute. If you just want to go do a couple stretches or something, or just kind of walk around, get some blood flowing, I'll be over there. And then they get the point of like, oh crap, I'm kind of standing there staring at people. So I had somebody who used to do that. They would show up like 10, 15 minutes early, then just stare and watch me train the client before them, which was really awkward for the other person. So I had to kind of say that a few times, and then I actually had to say to them on the side and just say during their session, say, hey, when you get here early, it's a little awkward if you kind of stare and watch. The other person kind of just doesn't really appreciate it, and it just kind of makes everything feel weird. So if you can, here's some stretches to do, here's some movements to do. I know you're probably just watching because you want to learn, but yeah, you know, this would be a little bit better if we have you kind of focus on yourself and get yourself ready. So there's different ways to say things, and yes, they might get slightly offended, but again, who are you responsible to per hour? If you are responsible to the previous client and they're not having a good session because your next client is staring at them, you need to stand up for the person you're with. So per hour, your client is your highest priority. Okay? So think of it if it's like you're like a, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, or, you know, spouse or somebody you love, like family member or something, and you are with them and somebody was doing something to make the session awkward, you would speak up, right? You would kind of stand up for your family member or your spouse. So they're, because they're a high priority to you. So you need to think of your clients as the same way. So per hour, each client is the highest priority. So you would behave in a way in which it was appropriate per hour, if that makes sense. So now, that's where if your clients are kind of running you late. Now, if you are running late, where you just don't show up on time, or you have to cancel often, that's a no-go. That's bad, poor character. That's disrespectful to the person who's standing there waiting and paying for your time. Okay, so it's amazing how people can be consistently late. So they're always 5 minutes late. Well, then start getting ready 5 minutes early so you can always be on time. If you can always show up 5 minutes after the hour, that means you have the ability to show up at an exact time. Does that make sense? So start all your preparations 5 minutes early so you actually show up on time. So I always think that's hilarious when somebody's like, oh, I'm always late. I'm like, so you're consistent. But you're just consistently an asshole. So, doesn't seem to be a good trade-off, okay? So, if you're always late, step it up. That means you have the ability to be consistent. Be consistent in a good way, not in a bad way, okay? So, typically, am I late for sessions? Every now and then, yeah. Do I have to cancel? Every now and then, yes. So, but I try to. I don't really have like a mathematical equation or something. But I would say I'm late to an individual person's sessions way less than once every 2 months. So probably once every 3 or 4 months. And I try not to cancel more often than like say once every 2 months. So if you are doing that, if your frequency of being late or having to cancel is higher than once every 2 months, you might want to look at rescheduling their day and time, even if that comes at a loss of money for you. Because if you're constantly late and you're constantly having to cancel, that person's going to leave you for eternity, okay? So rather than ticking them off and then never having them as a client ever, it's better to readjust, edit some things, and then get to keep them for long term. You'll eventually make more money, okay? And you'll just be less of a jerk. And now, you can also, if you can't reschedule stuff, maybe sometimes you can ask them if they want to do a shorter session. So if you're kind of coming after to something, some kind of event, and you're like, man, I'm always getting there like 10 minutes late, ask them if they want to do, say, 45-minute sessions. So instead of doing a 60-minute session where you're 10 minutes late all the time, do a 45-minute session, drop the price down 25%, okay? And then at least you're making something. At least they're not feeling like you're late all the time. So it's more of a respectful way to handle time. So that is how we think of being late and canceling, is don't be late. And try not to cancel too often. If you do, change times, rearrange some things, even if it comes at a temporary financial loss, because that'll actually make you still financial gains in the long term. Okay, now lack of communication. So what this means is if they're expecting you to answer texts and emails between sessions, and they're not getting the responses at the rates in which they want, that is going to give them a sense of being neglected, and they're going to leave you. Okay, so you need to set expectations at the very beginning. So right when you sign people up, you need to set expectations of when you're, like, what is the frequency of communication? So I've had online clients who wanted to email me and text me every day. That's insane. I do not charge enough for a daily service like that. And it sounds rude, but it's just, you got, you know, if you already have 20, 30 emails, You already work with 30-some clients. If everybody was to ask for 5 minutes of your day, you're going to lose a lot of time per day, not actually making new money, just kind of holding on to the money you got. So it's important to set expectations. So that way you have boundaries, okay? You're not responsible to answer to everybody every day, okay? But you are responsible to be clear with them and set clear boundaries. So I personally try to message with my people, like online clients, once or twice a week, okay? In-person clients, I'll see them in their sessions, and then maybe, you know, get like one outside text here or there, or one outside email here or there. But that's typically it, is we meet or talk once or twice a week. And I feel like that's pretty good. It's about the attention that I would ever expect or want from a trainer. So I understand I can't ask for daily attention if I'm not paying a premium price. Okay? So if you have somebody who is very demanding and you set clear boundaries and they keep violating the boundaries, and then they say little pity stuff like, oh, I always send you texts, but I never get responses back, fire the person. Okay? Fire them as a client. Get rid of them. Because if they have that type of behavior, if they think they're special, if they think they need constant attention, that means that they typically don't take responsibility for the lack of things that go well in their life, and they're going to be kind of like a negative in many other ways. Okay? They're typically more emotionally driven people, and they're typically going to be very needy, so when anything doesn't go well, they're going to freak out, send you a million and one texts about stuff that's really stupid that would kind of blow over in the grand scheme of things. So if you have somebody who's really picky and petty, fire them immediately. You don't need the money. Go find somebody else who'll give you money. Okay? So you have to have boundaries for yourself, just as much as the clients have to have boundaries in the sense of what they expect. So you can't be, you know, responsible to somebody every day, but you also just can't never message them back. You need to text them back. You need to message them back as often as you can while keeping your set boundaries. So what you would look for is your goal would be to talk with them at the very beginning, see how frequently they would like communication, compare to how frequently you would be able to give communication, and then compare that, find a common ground, and move on from there, okay? Another system I have is I have urgency levels. So I tell people typically to send me messages through email, you know, Instagram, Facebook, stuff like that. And typically we try to save text for more like, hey, I need the help now. So it's kind of like their way of getting ahead of my attention and saying, hey, this is urgent, you know, I need help right now, versus emails, which tend to get more lost throughout the day. So it's easier to pay attention to, say, you know, 8 to 10 texts a day than it is to pay attention to 20, 30 emails a day. So you can do urgency things like that. So that way they gives them a sense of peace knowing that they can get a hold of you if they really need to. So that way they have that security, okay? So you have to make sure if you're having communication issues, a lot of times that comes from not having clear set expectations at the start of the relationship, okay? So the third thing is not paying full attention to your clients. So don't have your phone in your hand, okay? If you're a personal trainer, do not have your phone in your hand. I don't give a shit what excuse you have. So when I counsel other trainers, when I go to other, like, gyms and kind of talk to the training staff in general, is you don't want to have your phone. I don't care if you track stuff in your phone. I don't care if you're trying to show them some kind of awesome app or video. Save any kind of phone use for the very beginning or the very end of the session. So if you do want to show them an app, do it at the very beginning or the very end, and then record your data if you want to try to record stuff on good old pen and paper, okay? It'll make them feel like they're being more attentive. And then we are all human beings. If you're holding your phone and all of a sudden you see a text come up, you're going to look at that text, okay? That's everyone's nature. So you're going to be distracted, whether you say you would or not. Bullshit, 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 okay? Don't hold a phone. That is a sign of lack of communication attention. So, like, we all know, like, the teenagers who text while their parents are talking to them, okay? You know the kids ain't paying attention. So don't have your phone in your hand, okay? So I have had trainers who come into our facility and they want to, you know, be like an outside kind of independent trainer. So they'll come in, train their clients, and pay like a fee to the gym. They're not allowed to have their phone in their hand. If they do, I fire them, because that's a big no-no. Because even if their client is okay with it, anyone watching them from the external, from the outside, sees it as a sign of disrespect, of not paying attention. So they're not going to see the fact that you're putting data into your phone. They're going to see you texting. That's what they're going to see. Okay? Now, why does it matter what other people think? Well, those other people are your potential clients. So who's going to come and hire you as a trainer if they think all you're doing is texting your buddies the whole time you're training clients? Okay? Not going to work. Also, don't talk to other gym members. So don't yell at your buddy halfway across the gym. You know, don't, you know, flirt with the cute girl that walks past or the cute guy that walks past, you know, like at the gym. So keep your attention to your client at all times. If somebody tries to talk, just say, hey, I'm sorry, I you know, have a client right now. This is their time. If you need something, just shoot me a text or an email, and I'll get back to you later. And I've said that several times to people, and they understand. Okay, they'll figure it out. And then you need to make sure you're paying attention to what your clients are doing, in the sense of if you potentially start daydreaming, which does happen, okay? So you have a client, if you have a client who doesn't take your full skill level of knowledge, and they're kind of like a beginner, and you're doing, beginner stuff again, okay? Find something to analyze about their movement. See if they have their weight in the right part of their foot. See if they're holding onto the dumbbell at the middle of the dumbbell or the top of the dumbbell or the bottom of the dumbbell. Maybe their dumbbell is kind of tilted one way or the other. Then you could tell them a little bit of a tip about how to hold onto a dumbbell a certain way. So, for example, doing dumbbell hammer curls, you would want to hold closer to the top head of the dumbbell because that lessens the forearm and grip involvement and gets you more biceps. Okay? So sometimes grabbing the middle of the dumbbell isn't the best thing. So that's something you can think of. So if you are struggling with attention to clients, okay, if they feel like you're not being attentive, one of the reasons could be because you're on your phone or you're talking with other people. It doesn't matter whether that's beneficial to anybody else. Your client is your highest priority at that time. Okay? So if you're like, well, if I don't talk to people, you know, how am I going to develop business? You don't develop business while you're taking care of business. Okay? Do that at your own time. If you have a client, pay attention to your client. They are your focus at that time. Okay. Next, we have responding to client feedback or personal modifications. So overwhelmingly, all the time when I go to other facilities and stuff, I'll see a trainer and they'll have somebody going through something and the client will be like, oh, I don't know about this. Like, my knee kind of hurts. And the trainer will be like, well, you know, maybe, you know, it'll go away if we just keep going. Or they'll just keep repeating the same exercise every time they show up. So they don't really make notes. They don't personalize things. So I've been to facilities and I used to train 30-minute sessions where I'd make do like, you know, an 8 to 10-hour day where I have like 16 to 20 clients. It's really hard to remember everybody's personal modifications. But you got to do it anyhow. You got to write that stuff down. So if you have somebody where, you know, a certain movement always hurts their knee, don't repeat that damn movement. If you notice like, oh crap, I forgot this, start writing it down, make a note. So like what I sometimes will do is like where I have their name in my schedule, underneath their name I might write parentheses knee. And it'll like remind me, oh crap, yeah, I gotta pay attention to their knees. So stuff like that. Okay? So if something hurts them, make sure you make a note of it and modify it. If they don't like something you do, okay, you're trying to teach them a new movement and they don't really like it, and it's not necessary, drop it and modify it. Okay, don't try to force it just because it's on your schedule, it's in your plan, or like this is just the way I do things. Bullshit. You're there to take care of the person. Take care of the person. So modify it, make it right for what's that for them. Now, if they don't like it, but it's necessary, it's something they don't like because they're not good at it, but you know it's the best thing for them, okay? Tell them the benefits, explain why it's important, and then do it in kind of spurts. So maybe you'll focus on it for 4 weeks in a row, so that way they can get the technique down, learn the importance, but then you'll give them 2 to 4 weeks of doing something else before you come back for another 4 weeks. So you can kind of do it in little spurts and bursts. And that'll be a way of still getting in the thing that you think is necessary, but giving them some degree of feeling like you're paying attention to their needs, okay? Then also, make sure you personalize the way in which you coach and talk to your clients. So if they don't feel like you're responding to them well, it might be because you're not matching the way in which they want you to talk to them. So maybe you're very authoritative and they just want kind of a guiding friend, okay? Or maybe you're too relaxed and they want you to kick their butt, okay? Be more stern with them. So in podcast 336, we talked about individualizing your voice. So that's very important to do as well, to make sure that your style of communication matches their style of being communicated to, okay? The next thing we have is if you push a lot of supplements. So if you try to get your clients always on supplements, they will leave you. One of the reasons why is they have to put money towards supplements. They're not going to have as much money to put towards you. So it's actually detrimental to your long-term client retention if you push a lot of supplements. So some trainers will try to get people to take fat burners and other supplements because their knowledge sucks and they need the supplement to do the work for them. So if you're a trainer and you have to always give your people supplements, so there are trainers out there who promote illegal supplementation. So thyroid medication, testosterone derivatives, you know, cutters, you know, things like that, diuretics. If you are that trainer, you are weak. Okay, you're also an asshole, and you're weak. Up your game. Increase your knowledge. If you need supplements to mask what you can't do with your knowledge, you are not a good trainer. You shouldn't rely on supplements to make progress for your clients. You should rely on your own damn knowledge. Okay? So you need to focus on whole foods and good, proper training techniques and structures. Okay? That is going to get them the best results. Eating healthy and training hard and appropriately. Only promote health-based supplements. Okay, things like vitamin D3, which are really helpful for hormone production and mood production, and overwhelmingly most of the population is low in vitamin D3. Promote things like multivitamins or maybe like a natural greens supplement if they don't eat a lot of fruits and vegetables. Focus on stuff that's health-based, not performance-based. That's going to show that you care more, okay, and it's going to show that you have confidence in your knowledge. Your knowledge is what gets them the performance benefit. So if they're going to take supplements, just have them take health-based supplements, okay? Good trainers don't need clients on supplements. So if you feel like you need to have your clients on a couple of supplements to make sure they're doing well, that's a lack of ability on your part, lack of self-confidence, lack of belief, lack of skill. Now, if like some of you have somebody and they want to take some creatine to get a little bit of strength, that's fine, okay? Maybe you have somebody who wants to take protein powder after workouts to help them build a little bit of muscle. That's fine. What I more so mean is like those pure performance-based ones, like fat burners. Don't have a client take a fat burner unless they're like 8 weeks before a competition. At all other times, they should just be working their ass off and eating healthy. That should be their fat burner, okay? So don't push supplements. You don't need them if you're a good trainer. Now, the other thing you could that would get you in trouble and why somebody could fire you is if you're not staying in your wheelhouse, staying with what you know. So if you talk outside of your knowledge base, okay, and you try to be a know-it-all and try to always have an answer for everything, that's not going to go well because you can't possibly know everything well, okay? You'll be a jack of all trades but a master of none. So find your trade and master the shit out of it, okay? Do I know stuff about supplements? Yeah, I have a master's in nutrition. Part of our education base was learning supplements. And I also just have a general interest in supplements. And I worked for 4 years at a supplement store. So I do know a lot about supplements. But I default to a person named Steve Wayman, who owns Rock Hill Nutrition, okay, which is a supplement store in Rock Hill, which is a city I live in. That dude knows more than I'll ever know about supplements. He's a freaking genius. He's a super nice guy. He does everything ethically correct in business. So if one of my clients has a supplement question, I'll answer it and then say, hey, with what knowledge I have, this is what I typically would say or do for somebody. But go talk to Steve. He's the expert on that industry. He knows the in and outs. So see what he says compared to what I say. But ultimately, you probably can just trust him. So find people you can send out, okay? You can reference, okay? I can't think of the correct word right now, but like networking, okay? So I don't do Olympic lifting very well. I've never been physically skilled at it. I have very short upper arms. So if I try to hold a barbell in a front rack position, the barbell is like in my ears. So I have short little T-Rex upper arms. So I'm not very good at Olympic lifting. So if I have somebody who wants to learn Olympic lifting, I have an outside trainer. So I have somebody else that I will send that client to. Because I don't know it very well. It's not my expertise. So I don't train that, okay, topic. And I'm okay with that. What I do know well. And I know well enough to know that I don't know everything else, okay? So another thing is, like, chiropractic work. So if I have somebody who says, like, oh, my hips feel out of place, or, you know, I kind of feel like I have this pinchy thing in my upper back, I'm not going to try to, like, crack their back and snap my client in half in the middle of my own gym. So I have a chiropractor in town who I network with. I feel very confident. I've been to him myself. I have family that goes to him, okay? So, and I'll send my clients to them. I have a physical therapist. It's the same way. So you have to network and find the people in the areas of knowledge that you don't have. Don't try to be a know-it-all. Your clients don't come to you for everything. They come to you for what you do know. Okay? So if you're a trainer, know training really well. You don't have to be a chiropractor. You don't have to be a physical therapist. Okay? And only know, if you only know your niche, okay, like I said, I don't know, I know the theories and the topics and how to make an Olympic lifter strong, but I don't know technique and I can't show them very well. So I don't take Olympic lifting clients. So that's me staying within my knowledge base, and you want to make sure you do the same as well, okay? Another thing where a client might fire you is your personalities don't match. So don't be a Debbie Downer. Don't try to dump shit onto your clients. Don't whine and bitch about your life. No one gives a shit. Okay, so they're coming to you to get healthier and happier, not to hear your shit. So if they start complaining about their life, be a sympathetic counselor. Don't join in. Okay, don't compare woe stories and all of a sudden you guys are talking for half the session about how life sucks rather than actually making a damn difference about your life and being active and being positive. So be a positive influence to your clients. Don't dump your garbage onto them. You are a counselor for them. Okay? You need to make sure that your client is the number one focus. Make sure that they are the hero of the hour. They are the superstar. Everything's about them. Okay? Doesn't mean they can be divas. Okay? You need to have a mutual agreement and relationship and equality. But don't try to compare stories. Everything's more about them. Okay? So you want to make sure that if they're telling stories and they're whining a little bit about life, you give the, you know, you give a listening ear. If they ask for advice, you give an advice. But you keep moving on. You don't join in. You don't, like, wallow in that. You keep moving. So you have to be somebody that they would want to be around. If somebody's going to spend an hour with you, be an enjoyable person for that hour, okay? So be positive. If you have crap going on in your life, we all do, okay? And I'm not saying don't ever express it, but express it to the right people, which is family and friends or your counselor or therapist. Do not dump your shit onto your clients, okay? Now, next thing we have is if you're too flirty, okay, with clients, and this is for females too. So I have been to facilities where the female trainers were a bit too much, okay? So, you know, you can wear clothes, and this is the same for guys, but this is going to definitely sound directed towards the females more. You can wear clothes that show you're athletic and fit. But you don't want to wear, like, shorty shorts where, you know, they don't cover anything, okay? And you want to make sure that when you lean over, your top stays covering what you need to cover. I absolutely promise you, I don't mean to be sexist here, but I have, like, been to facilities where the girls wear, like, these short shorts where, God, you might as well have worn nothing, okay? That's not really the most appropriate clothes to train clients in. That might be fine for you to work out in your personal time, but you need to have some professionalism to your clothes and your appearance whenever you're a trainer. And that, in guys, you can't be wearing tank tops and wife beaters and, you know, stuff that shows off muscles. Everything's not about your damn muscles, okay? You can wear a nice t-shirt. You can wear even a polo shirt that has, like, that Under Armour type feel or material to it. So you want to have some professionalism to your appearance, guys. Okay, so shave a little bit, clean up yourself, don't stink. So make sure you look appropriate for the job and not half naked and like you're trying to impress somebody with your body. This hour with your client is not about your body, it's about their body. Okay, so one of the best pieces of advice that I try to give when I talk to other trainers in counseling and stuff is treat the person like they're your brother or sister. Okay. So if you were training your brother, so if you're training a guy and he was your brother, how would you talk to your brother? How would you kind of communicate with your brother? Like, where would you stand? How close would you stand? Would you touch them? Okay. So you should never touch a client without first asking if it's okay. And obviously only touch them in appropriate places and keep it to an absolute minimum. OK, Okay? So if you're trying to tell somebody to squeeze their glutes, don't cup their glutes with your hands. That's ridiculously inappropriate, okay? It's absolutely unnecessary. So you can just poke at the side of their hip, okay, on their glute muscle with one finger and kind of push in a little bit, and that can give them the sensation of their glute, okay? So this is a little bit comical, but it has, unfortunately, a negative connotation for a lot of women, because there are guys who are complete pieces of shit and they're assholes, and they will take advantage of women. So they'll touch them in inappropriate amounts or times or places, and they kind of, the woman will sometimes feel confused in the moment and then taken advantage of later on when they reflect back. So I don't think anybody listening to this is probably going to have that type of demeanor. So typically those people already think they're geniuses and they won't listen to a podcast on how to get better. Okay, but just treat that person like it's your brother or sister. And that usually helps a lot with kind of verbal and physical communication to make sure you're not too flirty in language or touch. Okay, so next thing we have, number 9, is not meeting the standards for what you guys set out for. So if you're supposed to do 60-minute sessions and you're always cutting everything short at 45 or 50 minutes, that's not good as a trainer. If you promise them 60 minutes, give them 60 minutes. Even if that means, like, if they're kind of worn out at 15 minutes left, you can ask them how their life's going. Like, hey, how's life going? You know, like, how's your wife or how's your kids or how's, you know, husband? How is, you know, like, oh, what are you getting into this weekend? Talk a little bit to them, okay? Take that as a time to get personal. Take that as a time to kind of get to know them better. You can also ask them how their nutrition is going, maybe how their training is going outside of the sessions you guys do together. So just use the full hour. If you promise them an hour, use a full hour. If you promise them 30 minutes, use full 30 minutes. Okay? If you promise to give them programming for like workouts in between sessions, make sure you do. Just make sure you live up to the standards and stuff that you promised at the beginning. Okay? So one of the things I'm trying to learn how to do is to under-promise and over-deliver. I want to be a surprise, not a letdown. So rather than promising the world and always falling short, I'm learning to limit what I promise, and then if I can deliver above that, great. But that way I'm not constantly letting them down, or I'm not constantly feeling stressed and overwhelmed myself. And if you can't meet the standards, just be honest about that and make some adjustments, okay? Whether that's even adjustment in price. So if you're always squeezed for time and you never seem to have the full hour, reduce the price a little bit. That way they'll feel, you know, not taken advantage of, and they'll be likely to stay longer again than to cut you and get rid of you or fire you as a trainer. Okay, last thing we have, okay, is to make sure you focus on teaching your clients so they eventually wouldn't need you. Yes, that's exactly what I said. So if you focus on teaching your clients, educating them towards the ability to train themselves, believe it or not, they will stay longer. It seems counterintuitive, but if they're always learning something every time they come in to train with you, that makes them more aware that there's always stuff to learn. If you don't teach them and you just have them go through motions, but they don't really know why, they'll eventually say, hey, we're just kind of doing the same stuff every session. I can do this on my own. But if when they come in, you're saying, hey, you know, we're doing this today because of this, this, and this. Let me show you a really cool alternative that does the same things. But it's going to be a little bit different. It's a way for you to try to change things up. So if the gym's ever busy, you know, and you only have this one exercise on your plan, here's something you can do to kind of replace that. And there you go, oh, that's cool. I learned something new today. So if they're always learning, they're always learning that there's more to learn. Okay? So one of my favorite quotes is, you don't know what you don't know until you know that you don't know it. Okay? You don't know what you don't know until you know that you don't know it. And what that means is if you educate your clients, it promotes them to stay, not to leave. So if you don't try to teach your clients, they will leave you because they'll eventually think they can do it all on their own because all that they think there is the only things you've showed them. So if you only show them a little bit, they're going to feel like they can master that fast. So you need to educate them so they know what to do on their own. So that way, if they do leave, you will have made a lasting effect on their life and they can continue their own health. Hashtag what being a trainer is all about. Okay? Lasting, lifelong, healthy effects. So if they do leave, they will be capable of taking care of themselves. If they don't have to leave, they'll be more likely to stay because they're always learning something new and always feeling that there's more to learn, more to perfect, more to get better. Okay? So those are 10 things that I've blitzed through in a really fast manner. But those are reasons why your clients might leave you. So you need to be aware of them and handle them appropriately. So again, if you're late or you cancel all the time, they will leave you. If you have a lack of communication between sessions, they will leave you. If you don't give them full attention during their sessions, they will leave you. If you don't modify and respond to their feedback to make their training more appropriate for them, they will leave you. If you always push supplements, they will leave you. If you speak outside your knowledge base and try to pretend to be a know-it-all, they will see the gaps in your knowledge and they will leave you. So then we have personalities. If you're not a fun person to be around, they will leave you. If you're too flirty or you're inappropriate in language and touch, they will leave you. If you don't meet the standards in which you first initially agreed, they will leave you. And if you don't constantly teach them, if you just kind of like make them do things without them knowing why, they will think they understand everything faster than what they really do, and they will leave you. Okay? So treat your clients how you would want to be treated if you were a client. Would you hire yourself as your own trainer? If you know that you're taking shortcuts and not doing everything to the best of your ability, would you hire yourself? Okay? If you wouldn't hire you, why the hell are you asking other people to hire you? Okay? So are you doing for them what you'd be happy with having done for you? That's a good question to always consider. Okay? So hopefully this gave you some food for thought. Maybe it gave you some things to kind of think of, ways to kind of control client retention and have them stay around longer. And also just be a better trainer. Okay? Just be a good person. Be good at your craft and do it for the right reasons. Cool. Okay, if you have any questions or you want any help above this stuff, you can always email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com. If you like this information, you can find more from us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Brutal Iron Gym. Also, if you like the podcast, please share it with family and friends. The more people we help, the happier the world will be. And if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we'd love to hear from you. The podcast is for you, so we know what you want to learn about. And you can tell us at our email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.